The Bird Show.
So over the weekend, I made a big change to myself, which was my hair. I have never really changed my hair color, but I was sitting at lunch with a girlfriend on Saturday and I was like, well, I'm tired of the same old, same old. I've never really colored my hair completely. So I was like, let's just go to the salon. I'm going to get something done. And I just told the person who was doing my hair, just put some blonde in it. Well, she ended up putting a lot of blonde in it, and I came out a blonde, and I loved it and was super excited. I felt really good about it. I went out and bought a new outfit. So I had this cute blue dress on. It was like, it really enhanced my hair, made me look tan. I had new shoes on. I went and bought a new pair of shoes, and then it was out with the girls that night. So I knew I had plans with my girlfriends on Saturday night.
Fun.
So we start at dinner, and then we move over to a bar where there was a ton of good-looking guys at this bar. Holy moly, I've never seen so many good-looking guys.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know about this place.
Fest.
Oh my God, it was fantastic, though. I mean, we were just enjoying ourselves, some live music, having some drinks, and just catching up with really good girlfriends on Saturday night, and just feeling really good about myself. I'm like, I look hot tonight, getting these different stares and these different looks. My friends are complimenting my hair, and I'm feeling great.
It's so important to leave the house when you've got at that particular point of confidence, you know? Mm-hmm. When you look in the mirror and you're like, okay, I am feeling really good about myself, do not take a second look.
Just leave the house immediately with that attitude.
Because it will cover you the rest of the night, and then avoid all mirrors for the rest of the night if you can.
That's fine.
Yes. Well, I didn't even want to avoid any mirrors. I mean, my girlfriends were complimenting me and then just getting different looks, and I felt good about myself. I was like, I look hot tonight. And then I didn't get hit on once, and I was like, well, they're staring at me. I'm like, I feel good. I mean, I look good.
I'm getting the glances.
I'm smiling. I'm making eye contact with all these guys, and I leave the bar with my friend to go home for the night, and I did not get hit on once that night.
Like, No one approached you, not a drink.
Think they're intimidated?
Was it just one friend that you went with or a group?
There was a group of us.
I think that could have been it.
There was five girls at a table. So
It takes a strong man to approach the whole pack, but if you're a lone wolf, we think that we could probably survive that.
We've heard that it's three, right? The proper number to go out with is three, because a guy will approach you because he feels like your friend has somebody else to talk to.
He can isolate the weakest.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, at some points I was at the table with one of my girlfriends because everyone would scatter and then they would come back together and then one other person would leave. So, I mean, I was there probably with one other girlfriend at some point in the night.
If you're looking to be hit on, Wendy, you have to remember what we learned on the safari at Walt Disney World.
Oh my God, what are you about to say?
I'm nervous.
Go ahead.
This is our relationship we've built to this point. Oh God, Jeff, what?
The baby elephant is the one who's alone, is the one who can get snatched up. If you're in a whole pack of elephants, there's danger.
Well, I was the baby elephant.
So if you're a poacher, you go after the baby?
The poachers aren't going to approach the whole pack.
Simba won.
So,
no, okay, anyway, so Wendy, did you ever get up from the table?
I mean, I got up at different points from the table, but I mean, I was left by myself at one point and was like looking at guys, and I'm like, this is the night I'm not gonna buy any guy a drink. This is the night I'm not gonna go up and approach any guys, because I'm tired of being the person approaching guys. I want somebody to approach me, and I'm tired of that. So when I left the bar, I was so disappointed, and I went into the night feeling so great about myself, but not even one hi, how's it going?
Maybe your mojo meter's off or something.
Maybe it is. Maybe it wasn't as hot as I thought it was.
You should change your hair color.
Well, the reason I asked if you got it from the table, and I want to ask these guys, if she'd gotten up from the table of five and went to the bar to buy her own drink and was hanging out there for a second, would that have been an easier target, so to speak?
Definitely, yeah.
But that happened. Like, I did go buy my drink at the bar by myself, and it was just like kind of like a mood killer. And I'm like, why is this such a mood killer when I went into the night feeling so great about myself, so great about my new look, so great about being with friends, and then all of a sudden, as soon as I left the bar, I was like so disappointed.
877-588-BERT, 877-588-2378. Here is Ryan. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Great, great. I have a comment for Wendy. I believe that you were just looking overly attractive that night. And I know as a guy, my friends, when we see a gorgeous young lady out, we just feel intimidated and say, well, you know, obviously we can't walk up to her because she's looking for something else, not us.
Your message is really going to screw up a lot of women right now. So what you're saying is there's got to be some kind of balance between looking too good and looking good somewhere in the middle there?
There has to be.
Yeah.
It's like that movie, She's Out of My League.
I agree with that because if you left the house, like, you know, you say you check out in the mirror and if you do the Burt trick or you get, you know, a little cocky as soon as you see yourself and then you never look again, you're like, I look good. And you've got.
Did you just snap? Like, snap your fingers at yourself on the mirror, like little
gun.
You
have to give yourself a little. Also.
You don't do the gun.
Little Mentos. Ding, ding. Gleam in your teeth.
The gun is cheesy. You just snap.
For so women, anyways, it's like pushing out your lips.
Little pout.
Yeah. Little pout look.
I think it looks cute.
But the thing is, women have a different strut that they use that screams unapproachable.
Wendy doesn't have that.
But she may have. Like, she's got her new hair. She's feeling cocky. Yeah. She says she's wearing a hot dress.
That could have been it.
You know, she says she's looking good in the dress. She's feeling good about herself. So
she should have tripped.
Right? So you should have been a little clumsy.
How long have we known each other and been working with each other?
For a while. A couple of years
now. I have never seen Wendy in an arrogant moment or in an overly cocky moment.
It's a swagger. It's this confident, like, you know, probably got some hot shoes on, wearing a hot dress, boobs are out, head's held high, I got a new look.
But wouldn't you want to approach a woman like that?
Nope.
Yes and no. You want a woman with confidence, but not a woman that's untouchable.
Okay. I don't think I was appearing untouchable. I mean, we were just having a good time, just smiling, laughing, joking.
Hey, Rebecca, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Good morning. Hi. I love this show, by the way.
Thank you.
We're good.
But I totally agree with the last caller. All my best friends are guys, and, you know, we always talk crazy talk. And they agreed with that whole thing. If you look too good, they're intimidated. It don't matter how good the guy looks. They're scared of you.
Then screw the guys that are going to come up to you. Do you really want a dude that doesn't have sack enough to come up to you because you're looking that good? honestly, right?
Well, and I think Wendy, her expectations of a man are one that would have, as you say, the sack to come and talk to her. Because, I mean, Wendy is very much a traditionalist. She very much wants a man to come up and approach her and buy her a drink and ask her out. And, you know, and if a guy can't do that, then, you know, he's not going to live up to what she needs.
Hannah, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. I was just curious because I was listening. I mean, we all know how it feels when, you know, you feel really great when you're getting ready to go out and feel awesome about yourself. But I was curious if perhaps the confidence you had going into the night was almost false. Because you felt so awful about yourself because nobody approached you. I mean, if you weren't able to feel confident because nobody came up to you, then perhaps you were giving that off to begin with, that you really weren't that confident.
Whoa.
Maybe because, I mean, when I walked out of the bar, of course, I was like...
You were certainly less confident when you walked out of the bar.
I was a little deflated. I won't lie. I had the discussion with my friend on the way back to the house. I was like, well, what did I do wrong this time? I'm like, I was in a pretty awesome mood.
I want to go back to something you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation was eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're good at that?
I think so.
Because I feel like that can be like the winning tactic with like any guy in any situation or whatever, is that eye contact where you're like open and friendly and confident and smiling and like sort of welcoming, not the I'm going to look at you and then look away and then look at you and then look away, or not the like, you know, overly sexual eyes, like just a really like open, friendly look, I think, at a guy can be a welcome invitation to come over and talk to you.
And there are some dudes also that just have to be hit over the head with a hammer for them to get it. Like,
maybe.
When I was so insecure when I was out. I mean, you seriously would have had to have your tongue in my throat before I knew you were interested in me. I had no idea. Like, you could be sending me over drinks and I would have just assumed they were for somebody else. There are some dudes that just... they go too far one way or too far the other way. Then there are the guys, obviously, that just because you're in the room with them, they automatically assume that you're attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't know where the balance is.
I got to work on this.
I don't know. The Burt Show. The Burt Show. Joanna here is in a weird position with her fiancé right now, just feeling a little awkward.
And I don't know, you know, where it started. I would think that maybe I felt like this throughout our entire relationship, but I've always kind of suppressed those feelings and thought, no, just let it go. Just let it go. You're just thinking too much into it. But then I think with Jason getting out of the army and, well, first it started with Jason, you know, talking about how he wants to get his master's. And of course, I started feeling a little insecure because I don't even have my bachelor's degree. And here my fiance is talking about getting his master's degree.
Yeah, but you have a broadcasting career.
I do. Yes. Again, another reason why I'm a little sad. I'm just kidding. So, you know, he's studying for these exams, and then he starts to talk to me about all the schools that he wants to apply to. And, you know, Harvard came up, and I'm like, I'm with a guy who wants to apply to Harvard. Like, where, you know, how did I get so lucky to be with such a smart guy? And, you know, because of where I live and because of my career, he decided to apply to Emory, and he got in with no problem. And it just seems like everything... He's just very smart. Everything comes to him very easy. You know, he's athletic. Everything he strives for, he achieves.
His name should be Grant. With all of those attributes, that's the name of a man named Grant.
I mean, he's just a very, he's successful, and he's only 28 years old. I mean, he went to the military academy. Mm-hmm. We grew up the same. We both came from very struggling families, but the difference is that Jason... you know, had his college education paid for him because he's smart and he did well in school and went to military academy. I, on the other hand, did not. Mm-hmm. I, you know, we struggled, and I still struggle to this day. Financially, I struggle in everything I do. And I sometimes feel like I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy. Not that I'm not worthy, because
I'm not even worthy to know you because you know him.
It's not that I hate to say worthy. I don't feel like... if you put it on paper, it doesn't match up. Like, if you look at his background and you look at my background, and it doesn't match up. Like, I shouldn't be with a guy like that. He should be with a lawyer or a doctor or an educator or somebody who really has it together, whereas I don't. I still wait tables because that's where 99% of my income comes from. You know, I'm a waitress. If you took
for
away...
For now. Like, yeah. And it's not a competition. A relationship's not a competition.
Right, but I feel like we should be in the same place. Like, he is financially stable. I am financially unstable. We should be on the same level it's somehow. And I don't know...
I think it's a reflection more about how you feel about yourself maybe right now in this time of your life rather than a comparison to Jason, you know? Because you love him tremendously,
mm-hmm.
and you want to spend your life with him, and that's what he wants in a partner.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
And your personalities are, you know, very different, and you're vibrant and vivacious, and he loves that about you. And so, I mean, I think you guys are a great match in that way. I think this is more of a reflection of your own frustration than it is anything about him.
Right. But then I also think about our past, and I'm like, wow, you know, he is a good kid. He's never done anything wrong. And if his family ever found out that I worked at Hooters, for goodness sakes, like, they would flip out. And I'm like, I hate that.
But
I hate that.
That's probably why he loves you, yeah. is because you're yes. not straight and narrow.
That's definitely yes. part of the reason why he loves you, is that you used to work at Hooters.
I guarantee you he likes the fact that you could get a job at Hooters.
I think the best couples are the ones that bring something different to the table for mm-hmm. each other. Mm-hmm. Katie, Joe, and I are... How we were raised and our families are very similar. So the way we react to things, I mean, because I think that the fact that you and Jason have similar backgrounds, struggling mm-hmm. backgrounds, I think is very important, because I think you'll react to things the same way. The rest of it, Katie and I, we have nothing in common. Our personalities are not alike. Mm-hmm. What we like is not alike. But the thing that is so exciting about that relationship is the fact that I learn so much from her and she learns so much from me. And we complement each other. And that's why I say it's not a competition, because sometimes people don't want to be with people that are just like them.
Because they get
on their nerves.
Do you think he thinks like this at all?
No.
Not even a
little. Not at all. And that's why...
And you've talked to him about this.
Oh, of course. And every time I talk to him about it, he always tells me, you know, I don't even know why you're thinking that way. He's like, I look up to you. You inspire me and you make me better. You're my better half. And of course, I 100% believe that he really feels that way. But... I still feel as if when he goes to school, he's going to be in class with some girl who's pretty, who's smart, who's funny. And he's going to realize, wow, like, there are girls who are successful. And I'm scared that he's going to find someone better. I'm scared that he's going to meet someone and he's going to realize, I don't know what I don't feel like I've dated. I'm kind of scared that he hasn't really dated that much. And maybe he met me and he's like, wow, she's funny and she's quirky and she's whatever, but I'm not successful. And what if this radio thing doesn't work out and I'm still just
a waitress, and I still don't have a degree. You know, those things cross my mind.
I think this is so much more about your own insecurities, mm-hmm. about what you're doing, the path you're trying to make for yourself, that it's, you know, it's very difficult path to go down. You know, the entertainment industry in any way is not going to be the easy road, you know? And so I think that this is so much more about how you feel about yourself and where you are than anything to do with him. Anything.
877-588-BERT. 877-588-2378. Hey, Shannon, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Good morning. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to agree with everything that everybody was saying. My girlfriend and I have been together over 2 years, and I really don't think you've ever met anyone more opposite than us. I'm a complete socialite. She's very composed, very quiet. I've been to college. She hasn't. I'm a corporate girl. She's not. But I think that the fact that it's kind of like, what do you call those balance scale things? It's one of those.
A balance scale.
Yes. you have a person on each side, and it's always great to have someone who can give you a completely different perspective. And that's what he enjoys about you. You didn't follow the path that he did. You give him a different light of life. And I guarantee you that it has nothing to do with the degree or anything. He loves you for who you are. It has nothing to do with education.
He's not looking for female Jason.
Mm-mm. No, definitely not.
I understand that, but I just want to bring as much to the table as he has brought to the table. I don't want him to feel like he has to carry me. I feel like in the relationship so far, he has carried me. Not, you know, fine. And then this is, I feel like this all has to do with like career and financial wise. He has carried me. I don't want him to carry me anymore because now he's in school. He is not going to earn an income. I want to be able to pick up the, you know, that load and say, don't worry, honey, I've got the electric bill this month or I've got this month. But I can't because I can't even put gas in my car, let alone pay for an electric bill.
Yeah, I was thinking that he's going to grad school. So that means that you'll have plenty of opportunity to pick up, you know, things. Yeah. I mean, I don't, whether it's financial or not. I mean, he, graduate school is like you said, it's not a corporate job. It's where he's going to go into debt and spend all his time studying.
Don't underestimate, too, the value of stuff that you can contribute that doesn't cost anything. Like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not being pervy right now. I'm talking about, like,
that's a Jess
monologue.
I think this is about your insecurity.
It's because of the look that both Joanna and Melissa both gave me look.
You created this world for yourself.
I am not. Dad, you guys are so thinking me, think of sex. Stop it. What I was going to say is, the fact that he's going to be at school all day, having a nice dinner for him when he comes home is worth as much as being able to put gas in his car or pay the electric bill.
So you can contribute in ways that you can now.
Yeah, like, I know you like to cook, I think. I mean, you talk about it. Your mom has baked us all sorts of things, and you brought in cookies the other day. They were good. Like, stuff like that, or taking care. I know he just moved into a place. Make that as comfortable as possible. All of those things, I think, resonate with guys in a way where women don't realize the value of that.
Hey, Mike.
And that's not like a Stepford Wife 1950s thing I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just saying,
she has the opportunity to do that and he doesn't.
Guys like to be taken care of, and if that's how you can do it, do it.
Hey, Mike, what's going on? You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
All right. What's happening?
Listen, I am in the exact same situation from the guy's perspective that Joanna's going through. My girlfriend, she is so insecure about the exact same thing, and it's frustrating for the boyfriend who is not doing anything to make her feel that way. She just, every time I go to school, I'm a med student, and she right now she's waitressing to pay her way through school. And so every time I go off to school, she has the same exact feeling. I'm going to meet some pretty nurse or something like that. And it's ridiculous. I love my girlfriend. I'm sure Joanna's boyfriend loves her. There's no reason for her to feel that way.
And fiancé. I mean, this is your fiancé.
He put a ring on. He's committed, right?
Yeah, this is not just a boyfriend. It's a fiancé.
Perhaps you should move the wedding up to sometime within the next 36 months.
Well, I've been checking out all the Emory little get-togethers, and I'm, you know, checking out all the girls, and I'm like, maybe I should.
Don't let it absorb you.
Is it also the fact that he's been in the military and he's been hanging out with a bunch of guys this whole time, and now this is the first time he is, like, in the general population
girls.
That's made you insecure?
He's around other women now, and I'm just like, oh no.
And you know what? I feel insecure around military people.
Why?
Because like, they can kick your ass?
Yeah, well, the fact that like they make that sacrifice and do that, especially like Jason, who's been a career military guy and went in and like he went to West Point, didn't he?
Yes.
I'm insecure too. I can't go to your wedding.
See?
I can't be around
him.
You
don't need to rattle off more things on his resume because she's not feeling really good about it.
I mean, but like,
and then, you know, he's this whole, and then I think that contributes a lot to it because it's such a big sacrifice and
it's a little intimidating.
You're not helping here.
Yeah.
Boy, you're right, Joanna. He really is great.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stop talking.
How did you land that guy?
The Bird Show. The Bird Show.
Well, I have to confess about a purchase I wanted to make and didn't make strictly because of my role here on The Bird Show.
Okay.
It was a few years ago, if you're new Burt Show members, a few years ago that I started what was called my campaign to save Halloween in October because I was frustrated by the fact that Christmas, you know, decorations and Christmas lights and everything goes up usually in September, October.
This has been a campaign that's years long.
Yes.
And it may have started when our radio studio is close to a hospital, Northside Hospital, and they do a huge Christmas tree up on their roof.
Mm-hmm.
And one year we were driving in like seriously late September.
It was late September, I think.
And they had started assembling the Christmas tree.
Yes, and I went off.
She was mad.
I went off because we could see it through the windows of our studios here.
It's like a middle finger being built.
Oh. And because I love Christmas. I love Christmas, but I love it in its appropriate time, which is the day after Thanksgiving into, you know, New Year's Eve.
Right.
So that started a few years ago, like Jeff said. And so every year I've campaigned to save Halloween because Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. But now here we are in July, and it's Christmas in July for a lot of stores because of the recession, they're trying to get more money, and so Christmas in July everywhere. So it's just like drilling in my head. I get emails from listeners, you know, here in the past couple days and weeks in which they were telling me, oh, did you know about, you know, Christmas in July here and Christmas in July there, right?
Jen and I went to a Braves game last week that was Christmas in July, and I saw that on the ticket, and I thought, oh, don't
you? Did you see on Twitter where they had sent me a picture? The Braves.
Oh, really?
Like some, yes. They had one of the players have held up a sign that said, Merry Christmas to Melissa.
Oh, no!
That's fantastic.
That's awesome. Thank you, Atlanta Braves. Anyway, so even in my campaign to save Halloween, I do give craft stores a pass. Because craft stores are usually really good about not only having Christmas decorations up early, but they have Halloween up early, Thanksgiving up, 4th of July. They do things months in advance in case people have to make items put together things for the holidays,
if
right?
If you're a craft store person.
Or you're going to like do a quilt, that takes a lot
absolutely.
Of time.
Absolutely. So I never get, you know, when people send me stuff like from Michael's or Hobby Lobby or something like that, I'm like, you know what, they get a pass because they're craft stores, right, in our store. So I happened to be in Hobby Lobby the other day, and I was getting something else, and I was walking down to where I needed to go, and they had their Halloween stuff is out already. Their Thanksgiving stuff is out already. And their Christmas stuff is out already. And yes, it is July. But again, I just leave craft stores alone because they're good about representing every holiday. So as I'm passing the Christmas section, I noticed that they had all these ornaments up. And my girlfriend, Katie Jo, is in charge of our Christmas decorations within our home because she has a specific color scheme in our living room for our Christmas decorations.
Oh, okay.
So she's very particular.
It's not red and black, I take it.
It is not red and black, thank God. But it is. But she's very particular about our Christmas tree, and she does a beautiful job every year with it. And so I happen to see a section with the colors that fit our color scheme. And I actually walked down that aisle and I saw some ornaments that I knew that Katie Jo would love. And I literally picked one up and I stopped and I said, if that person at the cash register is a Burt Show listener,
you'll never hear the
and I'm in July, is it July? Because I was going to get a sample to take home to Katie and say, does this match the color? Because you need to go and, you know, this is a great place to go before they sell out in a few months. And I literally put it back on the shelf because
I said,
there is no way that I'm going to get busted buying a Christmas ornament in July here at Hobby Lobby.
See, that's where you're too consistent. No. That is just not right.
I mean, consistency is just ruining
your personal life. And because your girlfriend would have thought that was so thoughtful of you to think of her, see the color, pick it up, check with her, see if it's okay. And then you could have gone back and gotten the rest of whatever she wanted in that color scheme. See, Melissa. Yes.
I went home and told Katie she could go to Hobby Lobby and go do all the shopping she wanted to do. Because nobody knew who she was.
Because then you don't get the credit of the thoughtfulness. That was such a thoughtful thing.
Were you able to, like, did you do it?
I didn't want the crap that I was going to get for 6 months for doing that.
I understand that. This is a tough room.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, all of Katie's accolades would not make up for the crap that I would get.
Did you at least, like, take a camera phone picture or something like that?
You know what? I didn't. I should have. I don't know if I had my phone with me, actually. I think I left it in the car. But yeah, it was a beautiful ornament. But I was like, I can't do it. No. I can't do it.
Have you told her?
Yeah, I did tell her.
Because you're like, you know how you do the living room? You do it real pretty and you do it like real silvery and stuff. But you got that special silver you like. Found some stuff. She's like, oh my God, you did. That's so sweet. I couldn't bring it home.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much how the conversation went. I said, guess what I saw today? Guess where you need to go? You need to go over to Hobby Lobby. The reason is because they've got all these ornaments and I can't do it myself. And I told her why. And she pretty much was like Jen, thinking I was thinking too hard about it and overreacted. I said, all it would take is one listener. Taking a picture of me buying a Christmas ornament.
I remember there was a...
In July. Not even September, October. July.
Closer.
I remember there was a store in the little town where I grew up. There's a little store, like a, you know, drugstore type place, but it wasn't like a chain. It wasn't like a, you know, Rite Aid, Walgreens, whatever.
I thought you were going to say it was a ye old Christmas shoppy.
Yeah.
Two P's and an E.
That was a freestanding, independently owned, whatever. And the people who owned it lived in the small town, whatever, you know, lived there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And without fail, at some point over the weekend, my dad would go to that store and he would buy 2 6-packs of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be like, through for the whole week, that's what he bought. Like, I don't think... I mean, you might not have been able to buy beer in grocery stores or something like that. So he had the two, and if he walked in there and the same woman was working, he would leave and drive like 3 miles away to another store.
Because he cared about what she thought.
I'm like, Dad. Like, I remember hearing my mom say to my dad, like, you're buying a 6-pack of beer once a week. Like, that's not a big deal. And he's like, I just don't like the way she looks at me.
She's going to think I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, I just
don't. Did your dad buy like cans, 6-pack cans of like Milwaukee Best or something?
Yes.
I can just see your dad having that.
He actually said over last time we were together, he actually said that Milwaukee Best was like, he's like, I can't drink that stuff. And the fact that my dad had standards for beer made me kind of proud because I didn't think he did. Like, I really thought he'd drink anything.
But it's really cool that he would pop open all 6 of them and drink them all at the same time and down them, and you'd be yelling, go, dad. Uh-huh.
Or sometimes he'd let us kids in the neighborhood shotgun them. You know, poke the hole in the bottom and poof.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Hey, The Bert Show. The Bert Show.
So we're spending some time with Allison this morning, who has been on the show before and has a very open relationship with her kids. She's got a 14-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old son. And the dialogue that they have about sex has been very, very, very open. And she just found out a couple of days ago that her 14-year-old daughter and some of her girlfriends were Skyping with some dudes. And there was some flashing and some junk showing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of surprised Allison because her daughter is really straight and narrow and they have this open dialogue. So she was really, really shocked. Hey, Brenda, good morning. You're on The Bert Show. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey. What's up?
Well, I was listening to the program. I have got a soon-to-be 17-year-old who's going to be a senior in high school, and she tells me that all the rage is basically, it's called sex texting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where girls send pictures of themselves to boys and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not necessarily, they're not boyfriend and girlfriend. It's just, well, you send a picture to me, and this is always late at night. And it's somebody maybe on Facebook or MySpace. She hasn't done Skyping yet.
And when did she tell you about this?
It was during the school year. We don't have quite the open conversation that Allison does, but I do try to keep that dialogue open because is very important that they be able to talk to you about these things.
Yeah, I forget the statistics that Melissa rattled off a couple of weeks ago about sexting and teenagers, but they were crazy high numbers. Mm-hmm. Like in the 70% of like 13, like between the ages of 12 and 16-year-old. I'm making this number up, but it was sort of like this high. You know, like 70%. Have been sexting each other, mm-hmm. have gotten a picture, have a picture on their phone ready to send out. Crazy numbers.
And isn't that illegal?
Is it
if
illegal?
If you're under the age of 18?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
It's illegal.
Yeah, it's like child porn.
Yeah, it's child porn.
Have you had conversations about your kids about that too?
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, and that's part of it is that, you know, we were talking off air about how you can get recorded, you know, when you're on the video. You know, and to be aware that your picture out there stays out there forever. Like forever and ever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm. The stakes are so much higher now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're still talking about sex and you're still talking about diseases and pregnancies, but the stakes are just so much higher today because of technology.
And teenagers are so much more technologically advanced than their parents are. So parents are having to navigate this world that they don't really know a whole lot about, and your teenagers can hide from you so much easier than you know, we could hide things from our parents because we didn't have quite as much technology at our fingertips. So it's like the parents have to sort of get the education on the technology and then figure out the words to use on, you know, on the sexting and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate for their teenager. They've got a whole new world to figure out.
This is some of the audio that Allison brought in with her before about some of her conversation that she's had with her kids before.
Will you talk about it yet?
No, I don't know.
Nobody kids talk about it?
Usually, like, only, like, I don't ask them if they talk about that crap with their parents.
Well, does anybody just talk about it? I mean, do you make jokes about it now?
Yeah, of course we do.
And does anybody know what they're talking about?
Some of them.
I mean, they make jokes about all of it, but do they know what it means?
They don't talk about, like, yeah, they do. Yeah, of course they do. They probably, they don't learn it from their parents. They learn it from their friends.
All right, so that's why Allison was really shocked when she found out that her 14-year-old daughter was Skyping with some dude in a different state. She's showing some stuff, he's showing some stuff. So we're in the middle of a conversation on exactly how to handle it. So if you find yourself in a similar situation with your kids, maybe you can use Allison's example and maybe it'll work out for you also. So let's take it from there now. So you find out, you start to approach her about it, and she's a little sheepish to tell you, but you and your husband come together now and you decide to do what?
Well, you know, the first conversation was absolutely, you can't take this back. You know, this is something that you cannot take back that, you know, again, in the conversation of it can be recorded. You know, that, yes, seeing the person. So, you know, I got it straight. So you, where did you meet this person? Oh, chat roulette. You know, then it was like, oh, what is that? You know, which for me, okay, I'm not doing my homework as a parent, you know, so I need to know what's out there to protect my kid. Then three, you know, why did you do this? You know, getting inside of her head. Was it because you were looking for approval? Did it make you feel good that a 17-year-old boy was paying attention to you that was hot? He was hot. They happened to get a random hot guy from Oklahoma. And yes, it made me feel good. Okay.
Now Wendy's paying attention.
Yeah, I know. 17.
You know,
he's like, a cowboy. A hot cowboy.
Well, and you've been following along with 17 magazine. So you know exactly what to say to him.
Cowboy roulette.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then we took it from there that it's totally not appropriate. And, you know, I then had her watch the movie 13 with me. We talked more about, you know, that is this how you want to have your sexuality be? Is this how is there's it's, you know, in a certain level perverted to be sitting there on a screen that it's one step away from somebody recording you means that it's a level of pornography. Is that where you want to go? Do you want to be sitting there in front of a computer screen showing some random boy your stuff? And, you know, that was the conversation I had with the girls, you know, like, just, is that where you guys want to go? Is this what you want to do? Is this, how did it make you feel to do that? Not one of them had a good face, a happy face, like, oh, yeah, I'm so happy that I did that. No, it's a level of shame that I sat there and showed some random person. Is that what you want to do? Is that how you want to portray yourself?
Sexuality is so public now, and it's so prevalent and, you know, in all the pop culture and everything that they see. I wonder if teenagers realize what a private thing your own sexuality is, your own
that
private moments.
It's,
you know, it's like
is,
this private thing to be protected
and to
care about. It's so wide open and out there in the public, and everything is so sexual that it's almost glorified for it to be this thing that you're allowed to share with everyone.
It's making you millions of dollars. Look, Kim, let's remember where Kim Kardashian came from.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sex tape. That's how we were introduced to Kim Kardashian. And mm-hmm. now look what she's parlayed that into. It's almost like if I'm a 13 or a 14-year-old and I'm looking at that, I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
How bad can this be?
But it's just interesting that it's not really considered a private thing in their mm-hmm. world anymore.
Well, that's what we've said to her. We've said to her it's a special, sacred. It's about it being sacred. And if you mess with that, it will no longer be that.
Hmm. Here is Lauren. Good morning, Lauren. You're on the Burt Show.
Hi.
Hey.
I was going to say, I was a straight and narrow kid in high school, too. Straight A's, honor roll, never missed a day, and I lost my virginity at 15.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something, I mean, I'm not condoning what she's doing, but it's going to happen. I think it, you know, as a parent, you would want to stop it from happening, but whether you find out, I mean, my parents never found out about it. They, you know, probably up until I was about 21, 22, thought I was still a virgin. And, I mean, it's just the way it is now. And
do you wish you could have talked to your parents about it? Because think about that. That's from 15 to 22 that you weren't going to see a gynecologist.
Exactly. And, I mean,
you were sexually active and not going to the doctor because you couldn't talk to your mom about it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And, I mean,
and emotionally.
I regret that now. I wish I could have.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm glad that she's talking to her daughter, but regardless of what she says, she's still going to do it. And I respect her for talking to her. I wish my mom would have been like that. Hmm. But the way teenagers are, they're still going to do it.
How do you respond to that, Al?
You know what? I was 15 as well, personally. You know, and that's part of this conversation was, you know, for me, was emotionally I was not there. Physically, I was. All that. Emotionally, you can't take it back. You know, the one question that I've asked her, and this is a very interesting question that I pose to all the women out there, you know, who are sexually active, who are sleeping around, is why would you bring, you know, another person inside of you? Like, why? Who are you going to choose that person? Have that person be special. Have that person respect you. Have that person care about you. Have that person be someone who respects you enough to be inside your body. And I don't think that's an important question that's being posed to anybody out there. And that's the one where if you're going to ask that question, oh, yeah, you're going to have sex. Is that person worthy of being with you? And, you know, I can tell you there ain't no 17-year-old boy that's worthy of being mm-hmm. with my daughter right now. And that's the question that I've asked her. Is anybody that has approached you, any of these people that have asked you to have sex, is that somebody that you would want to have inside of you?
So where do you guys go from here real quickly then? So
passwords. I have all the passwords.
Okay.
And I told her there will be random checks. And there are absolutely consequences to that. I'll take her computer. I'll take her phone. I'll take all her stuff away. And that I don't want to do that. But you're going to have to give me the passwords. And I'm doing random checks.
Hmm. Have you gotten online and talked to that cowboy? Oh,
yeah. You know, that's a mama thing for later.
Get it. The Burt Show.